You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Andrew Castro is a Sacramento singer-songwriter who's joined us in the past to perform. Here's a bit of a song from his 2016 album. The album is titled, Can I Play For You?
Bloodshot eyes, it's 3 a.m. and I gotta stop this train, cause I just can't sleep again. No escape underneath my skin. I can feel this fire burning and I just can't breathe again. How does it feel? She's creeping in the back of your mind. What is real when nothing seems to fall in line?
So a little bit of tension there in that song, right? The song's called Paranoia.
Yeah.
It corresponds to Andrew's visit today. He's going to talk about a book he's written titled Overcoming Your Anxiety for People on the Go. And it's rooted in his own experience. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, thanks for having
you
me.
You know why I chose that song.
I do. I was very impressed that you chose that song because that's the one song on there that's probably really about kind of anxiety.
You've lightly mentioned it
yeah.
in past visits.
Yeah.
But in this book, you really put out all the depth of the struggle.
Yeah, I've talked about it a little bit on my music page over the past couple of years. And just over the summer, kind of was a good timing. I just decided to take a break from writing and performing. And I sat down and just kind of poured everything that I've learned and from, self-reflection and reading. And it's not like a big scholarly book. It's a very personal, conversational type book that's, you know, kind of easy to read because I want to get the point across that I'm just a regular person that went through this and millions of people are going through this. And yeah.
And you had a lot of people telling you how to manage yourself, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of the books I started reading and people just saying, oh, you know, you can manage your anxiety and you'll just have to do that for, you know, forever and just use, here's some tricks or gimmicks or whatever. But I started reading other books and started to see myself that it's something that you can really overcome. I think that's an old way of thinking, managing your anxiety. This book for me was about not showing tricks or gimmicks or little breathing exercise or stuff. It's about changing your perspective on your thoughts and your behavioral patterns and your sensations that you feel that overwhelm you. But if you can switch the perspective that you view your anxiety in, then you can kind of control it instead of it controlling you.
Can you give me a practical and literal example of something in your own life?
Yeah, well, definitely. I think, for me, the biggest thing that's helped me is meditation. So, and a practical example would be, I mean, thought patterns are the biggest thing, I think, that affect people's day-to-day life. Because this spiritual teacher, Eckhart Tolle, he wrote The Power of Now.
Right.
He said the human condition is lost in thought. And so meditation for me was one of the biggest things because it kind of makes you view your thoughts and sensations differently. And it's not just a simple breathing exercise, but it's actually a kind of a way of life to shift your perspective. So for me, I think that's the thing you can implement every day in your life.
You are a really busy musician. You play hundreds and hundreds
yeah.
of shows and
yeah.
crank out a lot of songwriting. So maybe it's not always easy to just put life on pause and meditate. Do you
right.
have any other quick tricks that you use?
That's the thing that there are books and stuff that have quick tricks, but mine, like I had a friend call me the other day and she was having a lot of anxiety and a lot of problems and she was looking how to, you know, how do I get rid of this, you know, right now? And I really think that the best advice is you can't, and that's a tough thing for people to hear,
mm-hmm.
but you can't get rid of it right now. And the more you try to get rid of it right now, the worse it's going to be because human nature is to fight, or at least that's what we think we need to do, but it's almost counterintuitive. It's kind of letting go of the rope, and you'll be hurting a lot, but you have to let that, you have to go through the storm.
I think you're right. I don't think there are quick tricks.
Right.
I think we retrain ourselves and try to stop tapes that play
yes.
in our head. How did you start to understand that this was a problem, that it was sort of reining your life in a way that you didn't want it to?
Yeah, definitely. Well, in the book, I talk about this thing. There's a couple analogies I give. One of them is a simple one. It's called the snowball effect. And I went through a big battle with it in my mid-20s with anxiety. It turned into like an ordeal. It was just everything I thought about. How do I get out of this? And then I kind of learned little tricks and gimmicks and stuff to get out of it. But then I just went back to the same stuff I was doing. And then it kind of built and kind of exploded again a couple years ago. So I kind of, through self-reflection, a lot of it, you just see, you start to see the patterns you developed when you were 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You know, I remember there's a thing I put in the book, one of the earliest memories I have of like a really overwhelming, worrying thought. I was when I was like 4 years old, and I was at a drive-in movie with my parents, and I just started crying because I remember thinking of my parents like dying or passing, and I couldn't control it. And this was like 4 or 5 years old, and I just started bawling. And then, you know, they comforted me, and I was fine because I was 4 or 5, so I didn't really, you know. But it's little things like that that you just start to build, and that's the kind of, when you kind of become, you know, conscious or very aware of things you don't like or concepts, then that whatever direction you go, I say, is that's where your snowball goes. And as it keeps building, you don't even notice it. You just think it's who you are. And then it kind of just, at some point for me, just crashed. And that's when I had those big, you know, years of anxiety. And so the snowball, you got to kind of see that snowball and be aware of it in order to start undoing those things. Because it's not who you are. That's just who you are right now. And then you can, from there, find a new path. And it takes a lot of work and dedication. It's not a month or two. So, you know, you just got to, but it's worth it. It's worth it in the end. So,
tell me more about the brain science that you understand now about anxiety and whether it is a symptom or related to something else or whether it stands on its own.
Yeah. So I get into, because there are things that say that some of anxiety is genetic too. So like there's a book I read that said like something was like 40% of your happiness is already determined or something like that, which I read it and I get it. It's hard to pick a percentage on that, but
you look like you don't want to buy into that.
Right. Well, for me, so I came up with this quote. I was very proud of it because I was like, oh, this is a good quote. And it was kind of like, happiness is fleeting and sadness is fleeting, and accepting that is finding peace. So the thing with, I'm not too much of a scientist, but I know how for anxiety, there's obviously some that require, you know, medication, and you know, there's clinical diagnosis and yes, chemical imbalances and all that stuff. But I leave that for smarter people. For me, it was mainly about the science behind it was looking at myself and seeing that the biggest thing is thoughts. You know, that's what seems to control most of us. And so the genetic part is there, but that's not a death sentence or anything. That's something that you can break these habits. It just depends on, I guess a lot of it's the willpower you have, and you, that's something you have to work out. I talk a lot about flexing your acceptance muscle, and I think that's one of the biggest things that science has told us over the last 20, 30 years, along with like stuff like Buddhism and meditation, that you have to learn to accept these things, because we have these thoughts, but we have this awareness above that, and that's where you can kind of view the storm that's going on inside you, and then that's where you can control it.
I'm talking with singer-songwriter Andrew Castro, but we're talking about a different project, a book that he's written, which corresponds to some of his life experience. The book is titled Overcoming Your Anxiety for People on the Go. The song Paranoia that you wrote, I think back in 2016, you said it was the only song or the first song you'd written that wasn't a love song, didn't have romantic lyrics to it. In that song, some of the lyrics are about night and nighttime, how it bothers you. Was that a more intense time for you?
Yes. Yeah, that was definitely. I didn't have any sleep trouble for my whole life. I was a big sleeper. And then all of a sudden, because anxiety manifests itself in very different ways. Usually, the symptoms for everybody are pretty similar. It's just different situations that caused it. I went through a period of insomnia, basically. I mean, I just couldn't sleep. You know, I would just lay down. That's another thing, is I was, at some point, I got so frustrated, I was trying to force myself to sleep. And, you know, you just can't do that. But that was a very, very dark time. The not sleeping kind of rocked me to my core, because you start to, you're just up all the time, and then you get an hour here, 2 hours there, and then your whole day is, you know, when you're exhausted, that exacerbates your anxiety even more. So,
did writing a song about it, putting into that form, make a difference? Did it help in any way?
I mean, I think it helps in the long run, because you're at least facing it, accepting it, and not hiding away from it. It doesn't help immediately because I had those sleep troubles for months and months. And but yeah, I mean, singing, writing songs, poetry, whatever your outlet is, getting that stuff out there, talking to people, going to therapy, whatever that is, getting it out into the world gets it away from just being in yourself, inside you. So that really helps a lot. But yeah, and the weird thing is I haven't written a song in 5-6 months now. And yeah, because I just been taking a break, and I actually, you know, it's good. You get a little change. And my, over the last, writing that book and over the last 6 months has been, I've been have the least anxiety I've ever had in my life. And so, you know, like I say in the book, I'm not a master or anything. I'm just, you know, it doesn't have the same hold it has on me that it used to.
So. It is ironic if the thing that you love doing and you were doing at an insatiable pace was also driving your anxiety.
I'm sure, yeah, there's a big part of it because especially in music, I'm actually doing a talk on Thursday in Napa and it's all artists, writers, songwriters. And the big thing with that lifestyle is the uncertainty of it. And when you have that uncertainty, when you don't know how to accept that uncertainty, it can cause a lot of stress. And then it's a very competitive field, and sometimes you can get lost in just, like, why are you doing music? Do you love it, or are you just chasing something? And I kind of realized that for a while, I was just chasing something. And but now I'm getting to a point where I can go back to why I started it, which was just to write songs and be in the studio and write. So it definitely, that's a career choice that if you're susceptible to anxiety, too, it's probably going to exacerbate it a lot.
Did you find what the ultimate root of your anxiety was?
The ultimate root of my anxiety is just, for me, it's trying to control things I couldn't control. And so this book, which is out right now, today, on Amazon, on paperback and Kindle, if you just search the whole title, Overcoming Your Anxiety for People on the Go, then you'll find it. And so for me, it was trying to control things I couldn't control and just really developing bad habits that you have to unlearn kind of what you've learned. And that's for me, the biggest lesson.
So with this book, you're meeting more of yourself, meeting yourself in a different way.
Yeah, meeting myself and actually even friends that I have, finding out that they were going through a lot of that stuff, but they didn't know how to deal with it or talk about it. And now they know that I have, and I have this book, and they've called me or texted me and asked me, you know, about it or what they do if they have this kind of thought or this kind of sensation and all that stuff. So it's been really... opened a lot of things in my life and especially for me just personally.
So no medication, but a lot of meditation.
So I did do Xanax for about 2 months. This is a few years ago, but I'm kind of stubborn too, so I'm all for medication as long as, you know, for me personally, if it's on a plan, not just taking stuff because you want to, just because it's not going to cure you. What's going to cure you is taking the medication to take the edge off, to kind of get into a routine or work with a psychiatrist, psychologist on how to learn better, healthier, productive things for your life. But I did do Xanax for about 2 months, and it kind of helped. But for me, I just was like, I need to just feel all this and just go through it and see what happens on the other side. And that was scary, but yeah.
And then write about it.
And then the book just kind of, I was just like, I'm going to do it and see what happens. So I've always loved writing. That was my first... I wanted to be a screenplay writer. So the writing was just something I've always loved, and I just sat down and wrote it out. So,
well, it's available now everywhere. It is Overcoming Your Anxiety for People on the Go. Andrew, it's always a pleasure to have you here, whether it's music or whatever new project. So lots of good luck to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.
That is Andrew Castro. There's more at capradio.org/insight. Start carrying all your ones and twos. Keep the lights on, trying to be cool all night. Paranoia ones and twos. Keep the lights on, trying to be cool all night.
Twos, keep the lights on, trying to be cool all night.
Just paranoia, want the tools. Keep the lights on, trying to be cool all night. It's just paranoia, want the tools. Keep the lights on, trying to be cool.